kind of a nostalgic day for me in that 15 years ago, Memorial Day weekend, was my very first time speaking in this church. I was not the pastor. I was an associate pastor down in Phoenix, and the pastor, like some other people, wanted to be gone on Memorial Day weekend. And so he called me up and said, "Don, I've got an opportunity for you." And I said, "Great, what would you like?" And he goes, "I'd like you to come up and preach." Well, I was ecstatic because my pastor of a church of 1,200 down there in Phoenix had told me that he was not going to throw me to the lions and ever allow me to speak in front of a group of 1,200 people, that, you know, my knees would probably be knocking so hard that they wouldn't hear my message anyway. And so he said, "If you find opportunities to speak, take them." And so I took it. And I felt like the Lord had just really laid upon me a sermon that was just for that congregation. And it also went along with some of my giftings and my abilities. And so I walked into church and I put my set of golf clubs right in front of the pulpit, thinking that I was coming to an older congregation that I would have absolutely no problem in connecting with some of the people there and talking with them about the game of golf. And when I asked how many golfers there were in the audience, not one hand was raised. There are times when you feel that draft. That was a time I felt the draft. So I thought, wow, okay, have anybody played goofy golf? Oh, yeah. I said, "Oh, good. Well, then I've got one club that I can talk about, and you would understand what I'm going to." Anyway, my message that day was about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they were like the clubs in my golf bag. They all had a different use, but they were all for the glory of God. I still don't have any golfers there. I got a couple guys that call themselves golfers, but, you know. But then I've seen them stand up out there. Today, we're going to continue on in the book of Colossians as we've been going through. And the main point of Colossians that we hold as our statement is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the whole basis of the book of Colossians. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Today we're going to cover Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And if you would be so happy to read that along with me. Now, one of the things that I've noticed with Brush Arbor being here instead of with David leading our worship today, as he normally does, is that y'all been sitting. And, you know, a very wise pastor once told me that, you know, the mind can only comprehend what the seat can withstand. Now, I know these are our two-hour rated cushions on here, but I'm going to ask you to do the same thing that Pastor Allen asked you to do, and that is, with the reading of the Word, let us stand. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. What does it say? "So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every good kind of fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." If you can't follow the script, just make it up. I know I just did anyway. Loving Heavenly Father, not my words this morning, but let your words be spoken over us. Let them permeate past our ears into our hearts and into our minds. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever in your life known a prayer warrior? I mean somebody that prayed especially for you, but also somebody else that you knew and everybody else in the church knew that if you had a need, you had something to be prayed for, you knew who to go to, who to call up. You ever known a person like that? It's a great privilege to know that there's somebody that you can go to for prayer. Amen? And honestly, folks, that's the way we need to be. We need to be prayer warriors. And please understand, warrior doesn't mean that you need to just have this great gifting of being able to orate all sorts of scriptures. It just means, you know what? I am ready to put on the armor of God and battle for your heart and your soul. I just want to see the goodness of God permeate all that you are about in life. Because there are all sorts of different kinds of prayer all throughout the Bible. That's the reason why in the Old Testament that God was known by so many different names is because he showed himself in different aspects, and the Israelites prayed and thanked God for revealing this new aspect of who he was. There are many different prayers. There are prayers of despair. Right? Lord, I didn't study for that test. Help me pass it anyway. There are prayers of forgiveness. Oh, Lord God, I am so bothered in my spirit. I know I deliberately disobeyed you in this thing. Please forgive me. There are prayers of just joy and thanksgiving when God has so blessed your life and you know that it was only the hand of God that has gotten you through, and you give praise and glory and thanks to God, right? And we have all these different elements of prayer all throughout scriptures to teach us. And to me, this prayer that Paul writes about in Colossians is just one of those places that helps to model for us what our prayers should be like for others. You see, because again, Paul never visited the town of Colossae. He was never a part of these people. He did not know them, and yet Paul could still pray for these people. And what did he say? He said, "So we have not stopped praying for you since we heard about you." Now, there have been some scholars who said that Paul had elephant knees because he was always on them in prayer. And in reality, what this means, this first statement, this first sentence, is that every time that Paul went to pray, he prayed for the Colossians. It does not mean that Paul just went around all day in prayer. Oh, we've never stopped praying for you. Oh, I've always been in prayer. No, it's like every time that Paul would pray, he would mention this church in Colossae. That's what he's trying to convey. Just like some of us. There are ways that we start praying and all of a sudden we get that same prayer request coming out of our mouth. I had the great privilege this week of being able to take a little break time and take my 14-year-old grandson who just graduated from 8th grade over to Disneyland. It was our promise to him. We had taken his sister 10 years earlier. We were much younger people then. We picked him up Wednesday morning. I drove like a madman. And of course, we get going over there, and my grandson says, "Grandpa, can we go to the beach?" "Grandson, I love you. Yes, we can go to the beach." And we went to the beach, and it was a good thing that we did, because it was the best day that while we were there to go to the beach. It was sunny. It was great. We went to Huntington Beach. We got into our swimsuits, and we both thought we were crazy, especially when we went down and we got in the water, and we went, "Woo!" But then as we stood there like a couple of idiots watching the sand just go out from underneath our feet, we kept getting used to it. And we looked at each other and we go, "We're going." He goes, "Oh yeah, we're going." And so we took off and we went into the water. And we're out there in the beautiful waves, and everything's going really well. I had been encouraging my grandson to catch a wave, and he looked at me, he goes, "Grandpa, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Catch a wave." I go, "Body surf, son, body surf." And he goes, "I don't know how to do that." I said, "Oh, dude, it's the most thrilling ride. It only lasts for a few seconds, but it's great. You know, you get moved by something besides your power for just a few seconds." "Yeah? How do you do that?" So I showed him how to do it. And he turned around and saw the wave, and I've been talking to him about how to choose waves and when to pick them. And he saw this wave, and he got it, and he rode it. I had never seen such a big grin on my 14-year-old grandson as I saw when he came out of the water shaking his Justin Bieber-type hair to the side. He was ecstatic. On the way back home, we finally got to talk to our grandson about the Lord. "He's trapped in my car, baby. I mean, it's going to happen. Because I'm nailing it 75 miles an hour. I know he's too scared to try to jump out. And if he does, he's going to see the Lord. And I want him to be ready." But we had the privilege of sharing our faith and sharing with him the fact that we pray for him, for his family. For our grandchildren. For our great grandchildren. To know the Lord. And that's the essence of what Paul is saying here. We have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. And what does he say? He says, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. What a great prayer. And this was exactly, you know, when I read this, I went, wow, why have I not been praying these words over my family? I mean, I've been praying for them to have an expansion of their faith in Jesus Christ. But this is such a wonderful statement to pray over those who you know are lost. And those who also know the Lord. It is an all-encompassing type of prayer. Does it humble and inspire you to think that somebody might be praying for you? Who are you praying for? Well, Paul's prayer requests have two blessings in them. One, here's your complete your outline time. Knowledge of God's will, and number two, the power to perform it. Paul's prayer requests two blessings, knowledge of God's will and the power to perform it. Now, something that I omitted from my outline that I wish I had put in there, and I put it in on my notes, is above knowledge, put complete knowledge of God's will. And the power to perform it is God's Spirit in you. You see, prayer is fellowship with God. And it just grows out of a relationship with God that is so manifested, and it's multifaceted. Prayer is multifaceted. There's no single form of prayer, and I know that I've already said that, but there's no single form of prayer that we are just locked into. Yes, the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful outline to go by. And because Jesus is answering the question that apostles had thrown at him, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? And he said, okay, sure. And then he goes and he prays the Lord's Prayer, teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But that's an outline. It doesn't mean that we, by memorization, by rote, that we just say those words and we don't even think about what we're saying anymore. Instead, prayer is fellowship with God, and that fellowship grows out of having a relationship with God. And that relationship grows with God by the way that you study His Word, because His Word is the revelation of who God is. And so the more of God's Word that we read and that we take in to our lives, the more that we'll know, just like the Israelites did. They knew about all the different names of God, all the different ways that God had revealed Himself to the people. And God will reveal Himself to you the more that you know Him. And it's one of those lessons. It's one of those curriculums, if you will, one of those studies that you will never exhaust. There is never a point in time when you can say, okay, well, I've studied all the Bible. I know everything about God. If you ever hear anybody say that to you, step away from them, because they are in such error. God's ways are much higher than our ways. His wisdom much greater than our wisdom. Amen. Paul's prayer requests two blessings for this church in Colossae: that they would have complete knowledge of God's will, and, number two, the power to perform it. It's one thing to know what God's will is. It's another thing to live it out. Amen? I mean, the one is just, it's just great knowledge.
Yes, I know what God's will is. God's will is for every man to be holy and blameless and righteous. And the blood of Jesus has done all of that for each and every one of us, because none of us are good enough to attain heaven.
Where did I get that voice from? And it's great to have that knowledge packed away in your brain. But where everything matches is when that knowledge that you have of God is worked out in your life. Then the Word of God is alive in you. And you become the person knowing and having complete knowledge of God's will. God, what do you want me to do today? God, do you want me to talk with this person? Do you want me to pray with them? God, do you not want me to go there? You will have complete knowledge of God's will, and you'll have the power to perform, especially if it's something that in the flesh you are drawn to, I sure would like to go do that. And you know that there are better things for you to be doing. Keep the motorcycle parked in the garage today, Don. You need to study God's Word. Oh, I know, but the open road sure sounds good to me right now. Right? Stay the course. Stay with growing in your knowledge of God. That's what Paul's prayer is. More of Paul's prayer. He says, we ask God to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So spiritual wisdom is the knowledge of first principles or God's truths. Your next fill-in. Spiritual wisdom is the knowledge of first principles or God's truths. Understanding is the ability to apply God's truth to any given situation which may arise in life. So spiritual wisdom is the knowledge of first principles or God's truths. There are certain things that God reveals to each and every one of us, right? It's what his character is about. It's Jesus came here in the form of man, just like you and I, and he taught us how to perform in life. He taught us to have compassion for those who are needy. Hence our vision statement, MASH, Ministering Aid to Suffering Hearts. It's what God had given us as a vision a couple of years ago, is that we are a people who want to be knowledgeable about what's going on in our community, in the lives that are around us, in the lives that we are involved with, and even those that bring that God brings into our paths. We want to be ready in season and out of season to minister the Word of God to people in our community, in our influence base, with the passion of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's just what we desire to do here. Not because I say so, but it's a vision that God wants us to embrace as a people. This was revealed from God, not me. We just kind of packaged it up in kind of a catchy little way. MASH. We want to be a MASH unit. It used to stand for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. For us, it's Ministering Aid to Suffering Hearts. And there are a lot of suffering hearts in our community. Amen? Especially the more that this economic development keeps going, there's going to be a lot more suffering people. Church, are we ready? We need to be praying that we are ready. Because people are going to be in despair real soon and more as this economy continues on in its way. Spiritual wisdom is the knowledge of first principles or of God's truths. Understanding is the ability to apply God's truth to any given situation which may arise in life. From Charles Stanley's book, he says, it's not enough to have a head full of theology and a lack of how to apply it to life. The greatest wisdom a man can possess is the ability to take God's truth and apply it to everyday living situations. The Christian must know what Christianity means in the business of life. See, we can't have that mentality of well, I've got my beliefs in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've confessed my sins to Him. I've been forgiven. And yes, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's great for you. But what about those that you care about? I care about my grandson. I care about my children. I care about my other grandchildren. And I pray for them. In fact, that was the one thing that I really enjoyed about speaking to my grandson, because there are times when I kind of wonder whether or not they really grasp what I do for a living. Even though they know, they've been here, they've seen Grandpa talk in front of people, they don't really have an idea He didn't really understand the passion of my heart, and so I was just really overjoyed at the opportunity to speak to my grandson and tell him, you know what? I care about where people are going to live for eternity. And that's what God has chosen me for. He's chosen me to be his mouthpiece, to tell people about this wonderful relationship that God wants to have with them. And not just now, but forever. And there are only two choices, grandson. You can either choose the love of God, or you can choose the love of this world. The one will lead you into the existence of God's presence forever and ever. It's called heaven. The other is the non-existence of God's presence forever and ever. And I'll tell you what. I know you and myself, we have lived outside of the presence of God in our life in the past. And it's a dark place to be in. And it's a place where we can get lost and we can get beat up right away, because this world will eat you up and spit you out and not think twice about who you are as a person. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's a God that cares about you, that loves you, that gave his own son for you? Woohoo! That's a God I want to spend eternity with. I don't want to spend eternity with somebody that's out to kill me, destroy me, and devour me. Because that's what Satan wants to do. I don't want to be in his camp. So what do? I try to learn everything that I can, and I try to share everything that I know with others, that they too might gain that kingdom of heaven. Understanding is the ability to apply God's truth to any given situation which may arise in life. And I'll tell you what, in studying the Bible, the number of years that I have studied the Bible, that word has something to speak about every situation that you could ever have in life. It has the answers. Amen? Lastly, Paul says knowledge of God's will and application is a fill-in. Paul says knowledge of God's will and application in life will lead to pleasing God, producing good fruit, and perpetual growth in relationship with God. Yeah, I got a little bit creative there and tried to have everything begin with the letter P. In life will lead to pleasing God, producing good fruit, and perpetual growth in relationship with God. Because after the first request, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul then says what? Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. That's how you can tell whether a person is walking with the Lord or not. Do you see good or rotten fruit around them? When you go to the produce market, do you look for the black colored bananas? Do you grab for the avocados that when you touch them, they just go whoosh in your hand? No. So as we know what good fruit is about for our own daily sustenance, we should also know what good fruit is about in God's kingdom. Amen? So our lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And I'll tell you what, there's that song, it gets sweeter as the day goes by, right? It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter. Richer, deeper, fuller as the day goes by. You left me hanging, folks. I threw it out there. You left me hanging here. I had to do a solo there. A cappella, nonetheless. There it is. Paul also writes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, these words. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, because it all starts in the mind. Amen? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. From the New Living Translation, Paul prayed these blessings over this church, people he didn't even know. Are there people praying for you? Are you praying for others? Are these the types of things that are in a part of your prayer? If not, you might want to use them. That those who don't have a relationship with the Lord might come to complete knowledge of his will. Amen? God, your word is so good. We thank you for the way that it just ministers to our hearts and our minds. That there is absolutely no guessing that you love us. Instead, Father, we know it's for certain. And Lord, not only do we know it for certain, but we desire to show others how much you love them. Touch them through our prayers. May we be mindful of those in this world who need prayer. And help, through the power of your Holy Spirit, for us to become the kind of prayer warriors that we need to be. May we lift them up with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.